worship Him, to praise Him, to glorify Him. And this is one of the most favorite things that I enjoy during the Christmas time is looking at the Facebook, all the pictures, the families and, you know, wonderful places you visit, your friends and families and all your gatherings and your fellowships. So when I look at this, and I enjoy too, and I praise God for the opportunity God has given me to have another Christmas in my life. Amen. And my family is this. So every time there is an occasion, and I always have an invitation for my brother. So this is my family. I come here to worship the Lord with you all. So Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year, with lots of lights and gifts and surprises. Hope you had a lot of gifts and great surprises, right? We enjoy listening to Christmas carols and American Christmas classics, and those are very pleasing to, you know, our ears, and we enjoy those songs and the music. It's certainly a season of fun, food and festivities. It is a season of travel and enjoying family time and family reunions and traditions, so on and so forth. We can make a list like this with all our favorites for Christmas. E.B. White once said, "To perceive Christmas through its wrappings becomes more difficult with every year." So the wrappings are all the fun and traditions, and sometimes, you know, we're just kind of taken up by these wrappings. There's nothing wrong with all these wrappings. There's nothing wrong with the gifts. There's nothing wrong with all the celebrations and traditions. However, year after year, people are finding new ways to enjoy Christmas season, but the core values of Christmas seem to be diminishing to the point that people even forget or don't bother to understand the meaning and the reason of the season. My brothers and sisters, let us praise God for another opportunity God has given us. Another Christmas. God has a great purpose for us. Whether you have realized it or not, there's a lot of people left this world already. They couldn't have another Christmas in their life. Some of you have gone through so much, and here we are praising the Lord. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer before the sermon. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great opportunity you have given us, Father. Thank you for coming into this world, loving me, Father, loving us so much. You have given up everything, all your glory, the heavens and everything, and you came into this world for us, Lord. I do not understand why you have loved me so much. I cannot fathom the depth of your love. Oh Lord, oh Father, all we can say, thank you for loving us so much. And I pray, Lord, oh Father, at this time I surrender myself and to you and submit myself to you, Father, that you may put your words in my mouth to speak to our brothers and sisters. I give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. My brothers and sisters, 2021 Christmas is over. Now what? That's the title of my sermon. Now what? Christmas is over. We enjoyed and we had all the fun and we had a lot of food and everything, but now what? So some things that I want to bring before you, some deep spiritual insights I want to share with you this morning. And this sermon is all about reflecting and realigning our life. This is a very crucial sermon. This is very essential. And I thank God for the opportunity He has given me to stand before you and speak His word. Because this sermon is going to make us reflect our life, our actions this whole year, and prepare us for the next year. Prepare us for the brand new year that God is going to bring about in our life. So we're going to realign our lives, our values, our priorities, that we would allow God to work in us and through us this year. So in my study, I have seen four different perspectives about Christmas. Number one, there are a group of Christians who observe Christmas. They are observing Christians. They observe Christmas. For those who follow the religion, that is for them. They observe all kinds of traditions. They observe all kinds of religious rituals and everything. So when the Christmas time comes, all their religious rituals come in place. There's no work in their spirit. And the second group of people are celebrating Christians. Celebrating Christmas is for those who follow church and follow family traditions. They do church very well. They go to church and, you know, enjoying all kinds of church traditions and family traditions. And a third group of people we see keeping Christmas. And this group of Christians are growing Christians. They grow with Christ. They grow from Christmas to Christmas. And it's not about the traditions. It's not about all kinds of religion or rituals. It's about growing with Christ. It's about some kind of enlightenment in their life when the Christmas comes. For a true believer of Jesus, Christmas is a new beginning, whether you realize it or not. For a true disciple of Christ, Christmas is a new anointing. For a true child of God, Christmas is a new revelation. That's what I experience in my life. Every year I wait on God to reveal himself to me in a brand new direction. Amen. In a brand new way. And those who simply observe and celebrate Christmas are missing out these great privileges. There's a good news of great joy on the Christmas day given to us. It was given by the angel of the Lord on the very first Christmas. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, we read, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." My friends, I want you to take note of this. A Savior has been born to you. He has been born for us, to you and to me. He is the Savior. A Savior who can save people, his people, from their sins. He is the Messiah who is anointed to preach and deliver people from the oppression of sin and evil. He is called the Lord, who has the complete power and authority on everything in heaven and on earth. When we truly understand this good news of great joy, and we believe in it, our life will be completely different from before. This is what the Christmas brings into our life. The good news of great joy. It is not a good news which was spoken over 2,000 years ago. Even today, the good news becomes sensational in a true believer's life. And always these words like, "Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. And Jesus is my Lord." Every time you read these words and apply it to your life and reflect, and it creates some kind of a brand new experience. It begins a brand new work in your life. That's what I experience. Every year, a new revelation of God. This good news of great joy has been a brand new thing always for me. Christmas made a difference in our lives. It's not like it for 10 years ago, how you enjoyed Christmas. It's not the same. My friends, the family traditions and all these traditions, they are the same. But the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of Christmas, it becomes brand new every year. Christmas makes a difference in our lives. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Abundant life means a life filled with eternal blessings. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15 says, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." He came into the world to save me and you. While we were sinners, walking in darkness, Jesus Christ came into this world not only to save us, but also to fill our life abundantly with all kinds of blessings. A lot of people, they just hear these words often and have no understanding what these blessings are all about. I want you to focus on these blessings. Number one, God gave us eternal life. What a wonderful blessing. Eternal life through faith in Christ, so that we will not be condemned for our sins and pass from death to life. Death has no rule over us. And God also gave us eternal salvation through His perfect obedience. His obedience gave us salvation, so that we will be reconciled with our Lord and Father in heaven, and we can never be ashamed of anything, and we can stand before the throne of grace. God has given us eternal redemption through His bloodshed, so that sin will never claim against us. You are free from sin and become righteous. God gave us eternal dwelling through His resurrection, so that we will be with Him in heaven forever. Don't worry about where you're living, how your circumstances are. You are called to live with Him in heaven. Amen. What a blessing Christmas brought into our life. God gave us eternal glory through His calling, so that we will be the praise of His glory. Some people are worried about what your value is. You know what your value is? You are the praise of His glory. God gave us eternal inheritance through His promises, so that we will be the inherit. We will inherit the blessings He has given us. He has in store for us in heaven that can never perish, spoil, or fade. You don't have to worry about raking all the wealth in this world. You don't have to worry about earning so much in this world. There is a heavenly inheritance kept for you and for me. There's an eternal comfort through His grace, so that His compassions are made new every day. My friends, have you ever noticed what a blessing Christmas brought into our lives? People who could not see it, they are blind. That's right. Let us open our eyes, my brothers and sisters. This morning, I want you to just help you reflect on how your Christmas is. Those who keep Christmas, grow in Christ, and live by the core values of Christmas. God revealed it to me. Out of this experiential knowledge, I would like to bring before you three core values of Christmas. As you listen to this sermon, I strongly encourage you to reflect upon how your life is, where your values are, where your priorities are. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to you and work in your life so deep. Three core values of Christmas: remind, restore, reassure. That's what Christmas brings into our lives. Number one, Christmas reminds us of a Savior. Christmas each year reminds us His constant love for us. It is a reminder of the power and authority of our Savior. Christ performed all the miracles and signs and wonders. He can do anything for you. It is a reminder of our resemblance of our Savior. Do not worry about how you look, what you are. You are created in His own image. Christmas reminds us of our commitment to our Savior. Christmas reminds us that we serve Him alone, not the human masters. Christmas reminds us of our Savior. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 1, we read, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress." My friends, I do not know what kind of distress you're in the entire year. I do not know what kind of hardships you had to go through, what kind of heartbreaking situations you had to go through. You know, all this pandemic, all these difficult circumstances, natural calamities brought so much into our lives, yet God's promises are there forever. There will be no more gloom, because the Savior has been born to you today. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Did you see that? People walking in darkness, spiritual darkness. They come to church, but they do not take word into their heart. I do not know how your spiritual life is. I do not know how your walk with Christ is. Maybe you're just going with all kinds of motions, or the rituals, or the traditions. But Christ invites you to grow with Him. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Have you forgotten who your Savior is? Have you forgotten the power and authority He has? He can do anything for you. All kinds of disappointments, discouragement, distress. Let it go away, my friends. Don't hold on to it. Don't have to walk in darkness anymore. Don't have to sit in your distress anymore. There's a Savior for you. Amen. Christmas is a great reminder. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "But in your heart, revere Christ as Lord." All you need to do is just take Him into your heart. And make Him as your Savior. Make Him your Christ. Make Him your Lord. And here's the promise for you. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 1 through 3. "But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob. He who formed you, Israel. Do not fear. For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. I do not know if people have left you. People have abandoned you, deserted you. Do not worry. Your Savior is there for you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, they will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Amen. My friends, take that Savior into your lives. Remember that Christmas, it has an effect in your life. The Savior has not left you. He is your Savior still. And the second core value of Christmas is this. Christmas restores Christ's anointing in us. Whether you believe it or not, whether you know it or not, the moment you accepted Christ as your Savior, He has anointed you. That anointment is upon us. Every person, irrespective of our age, irrespective of our background, it doesn't matter who you are. Once you accepted Jesus as your Savior, the anointing is upon you. Christmas reminds us that anointing. Restore means return, repair, or renovate. Return to a former condition. Maybe we have misplaced our spiritual priorities. God makes you think about that. Christmas is another opportunity to have that restoration. Sometimes we need a repair through forgiveness. We need to go to God and ask for Him to repair our spiritual lives because we have compromised our spiritual values. Sometimes we need a renovation in our spiritual life. Renovate by improving our faith and hope. Sometimes we lost our hope. We act like we're in distress. We act like we're desperate. But we have a Savior in our lives. We've been complacent in spiritual growth. Anointing is a special gift of God. And it prepares you to fulfill God's will and His purposes. So when you celebrate Christmas, when you keep Christmas, that anointing of Christ is restored in your life. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19, we read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor," means those who don't have the truth. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners," those who needed forgiveness, "and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." That means those who are downtrodden, bruised, and crushed by tragedies. "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The day when the salvation and the God's favor is abundantly available. My friends, that was the prophecy about Christ. When Christ is born in this world, he carried out this anointing. Now let me encourage you with this verse. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27 says, "As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you." Whatever the anointing was upon the Christ, we have that privilege. We have the blessing to receive the same anointing, my brothers and sisters. Can you imagine what a power God has put in our lives? Can you imagine that you have that anointing to proclaim that good news, to have that the power? You and I are anointed. And you do not need anyone to teach you, but his anointing teaches you. It gives you insights through the Holy Spirit about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. That means being rooted in his love and knit to him. Christmas reminds us to hold on to that anointing. The third core value of Christmas is this. Christmas reassures us of a glorious future. Today we are living in the days of uncertainty. People living in despair. They don't know where to go, what to hold on to. Their hope is uncertain. But we are so blessed to have that safe, firm, and secure hope, a living hope that God has given us. Christmas reminds us that we have that anchor for our soul, the hope God has given us. Christmas reassures us of glorious future. Reassure means to remove doubts and fears. I don't know what fears you are living in. Some of you are gripped in the fear. You could not walk any forward because you don't know what's going to happen. But in Jesus Christ, we have the privilege. You don't have to worry about future. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen in the next minute because God holds our future. Christ has your future in his hands. Your image, you are carved in his hand. You are right there in front of him. The heavenly angels surround you, my friends. When you call upon him, he descends. He brings down all the mighty angels around you. Your future is secure. To remove doubts and fears. To give someone confidence. I used to be like this type of person. I didn't have any confidence. I lived a Christian life for several years. But I kept on God reassuring me. God reassuring me. And he made me stand to speak. And somebody needs the comfort. Somebody in here needs the comfort in the time of uncertainty and the calamity. Christmas reassures us what a glorious future God has for us. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. We read, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." People may not be with us. God gave us people in our lives to just walk with us for a certain distance, to be with us for certain times. I do not know, maybe some of you lost your loved ones. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, maybe sometimes you think God is unfair. No. He had those people in your lives for a certain time, and their purpose is fulfilled. And they went back to be with God in glory. You are so privileged that you are in God's plan. And God arranged everyone for you. Everything for you. And it's time everything works out very well to fulfill God's promises and his purposes. So we do not have to worry about anything. But God is with us. Always. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6 and 7 we read, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. You may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. My brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you that Christmas that God has given you yesterday, it reassures of such a glorious future what you have. Amen. Maybe some troubles here and there. Maybe some hardships here and there. Maybe some heartbreaking conditions here and there. But it's all right. Your faith is tested. Your faith is tested. Every time your faith is tested, don't think that you're going through troubles and turmoil. But I want you to focus your attention on how your faith is refined. And it comes out of so pure gold that God favors it. It will be that favorable God's child. So my brothers and sisters, Christmas reassures us. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 20 says, "Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end." Isaiah chapter 16 verse 22 says, "The least of you will become a thousand, and smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord, and it's time I will do this swiftly." What a wonderful promise we have. Great promises. I just want to remind you all these promises you have. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we ignore. Sometimes we think, you know, I'm stuck in here. No. God reminds you by sending so many situations around you, by doing marvelous things in your life. So my friends, I hope you had a time of reflection. I do not know how your Christmas was. Maybe it's just observing Christmas, or maybe celebrating Christmas. Maybe some of you had great privilege to grow with Him. But wherever you are, I want you to reflect and say, "Lord, thank you for being my Savior. Lord, thank you for being the Messiah, the Anointed One. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for being the Lord." And now it's time. Before I close, I want to give you a few insights so that you can realign your life with God. God is going to give us another year. We might have been gone already through a pandemic or so many disasters in this world. But God made us alive. God kept us alive for a reason, my brothers and sisters. You might be thinking you still have to grow in your career. Might be thinking you still have to earn some more wealth. God has a much better plan for your life. He has much better purpose for your life. After learning valuable lessons from Christmas, now is the time to realign your life with Christ for a brand new year, a brand new beginning in 2022. My brothers and sisters, some of you have wasted so much of God's grace in your life. Some of you have wasted so much of your time. It's enough. No more procrastination. No more complaints, and no more egos, and no more self. Let there be a new beginning in your life. Joshua chapter 3 verse 5 says, Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Amen. It can be tomorrow. It can be very next minute. Maybe some of you, God is waiting to start something new in the new year. But God wants you to consecrate your life for His purposes. So before I close, I want to give you four steps to realign your lives. Number one, seek God's presence. Seek God's presence. You read the Word of God, the true Word, the most powerful Word, sharper than any double-edged sword. It's living and active. Read the Word of God and believe the Word. And humble yourself and worship Him alone, my brothers and sisters. Make it a priority. No more compromising. No more being complacent. Seek God's presence before making every decision. Before taking a turn in your life. Before anything and everything you do. Go to God and ask Him. Seek His presence. Number two, submit to God's will. What that means is accept God's plans and His authority over your life. God has great plans for you. Not to harm you, not to hurt you, not to put you in trouble, but to give you a prosperity in your life, give you a hope in your life. Trust God's plans and wait on Him with confidence, and you will see glorious work of His mighty hand in your life. And the third step is this: surrender to God's word. Obey God's will despite opposition. When you do God's will, sometimes you have a hard time. Sometimes people say things at you. Sometimes you face opposition in your own family. But I want you to prioritize to do what God tells you to do. Do what the Word of God tells you to do. What is right in the sight of God. Try that, my brothers and sisters. You will see God's holiness flowing out of your life. God's peace flowing out of your life. Surrender to God's word. And never stop sharing your testimony. God has been doing mighty things in your life every day. Sometimes people think miracle, wonderful things mean something all of a sudden appears in front of our eyes. That is not, that not always the case in God's will. The peace that flowing out of your heart is the miracle that God performs. The peace that you have even in the turmoil, that is the miracle of God. The peace that comes out of your life, you speak that word and share what God has done in your life, it will, save someone's life. The wonders of God, not necessarily in your life, but God will make you become a blessing to someone else. So whatever God has been doing in your life, constantly share. The more you share about God's grace, more you share about God's work, more you share about God's love, the more you grow. The deeper you grow into the Word of God, into the love of God. So we need to be knit with Him. We need to be deeply rooted in His love. My brothers and sisters, I do not want the next year, I do not want the new year to be a routine year. Let it be a new beginning. God gave you a church for the new beginnings. Let there be new beginnings in your life as well. My brothers and sisters, I hope God spoke to you today. If so, before you leave this place, I would strongly encourage you, close your eyes and surrender your life to God. God is ready to perform a miracle in your life. God is ready to change your life for a great purpose. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You, Lord, for Your compassions that are new every day. Thank You for Your word, O Lord. Thank You for my brothers and sisters and the wonderful church You have given us, Lord, to grow with You. Thank You for this opportunity You've given us to come and worship You, to reflect upon our lives, Lord, and to realign our lives with You. Lord, we have wasted so much of time. We've been so desperate in many situations, act like we don't know who our Savior is. We acted like we don't know what God is going to do. Lord, grant us confidence. Grant us trust in the promises of God. Though the heaven and earth may pass away, but Your word that is spoken out of Your mouth will never pass away. Lord, I pray that You may bless my brothers and sisters this morning with Your anointing, O Lord, O Father. I pray that they may remember the power of their Savior. I pray, Lord, O Father, that they may receive that restoration of Your anointing and everything they lost in their lives, Father. As they, Lord, O Father, repent, grant them forgiveness. Grant them broken and contrite spirit, Lord. O Lord, O Father, let Your peace flow out of their lives. I pray for their blood families, my Lord. Lord, O Father, may Your joy and peace remain in their families. I pray, Father, Lord, that You may reassure them as they leave this place and prepare all of us, Lord, for the brand new year that You're going to give us. Help us to realign our lives with Your promises, with Your plan, and with Your will. Thank You, Lord. We give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.